Right. Good morning, I'll both say. We're here again. Morning, Shalom. Chodesh. There's not a mouth of the Chodesh, Baz Hashem. Chodesh, where we can get back to normal. I want to speak about an Indian relevant to what we've experienced the last few weeks. And maybe still for a short period in the future as well. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Hei Amud Beis, the Gemara in Brachos brings the story of Rabbi Elazar Chola. Rabbi Elazar was ill. Ola Rabbi Yechonon Levakroi. Rabbi Yechonon went to be Mevakar Chola. Ra'om is scary of the base offer. He saw Rabbi Elazar was lying in a dark house. Galia Ledare, he unrolled his sleeve and the shine from his flesh lit up the house. And his Mevakar Chola, now the house was lit up. And the obvious question is, if his arm lit up the house, why when he walked into the house, his face wasn't wearing a mask? Why didn't his face shine up the house? So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, what's hidden shines. Things are but sinner. They have a tremendous shine. You know the famous Rashi 2 weeks ago, by the Parshas Menorah next to the Akrobat Nesiim, when Aaron saw the Nesiim bringing up their Kavonas, Chol Shadatai became upset. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha Shelcha G'dayla Mishalahem. Yours is greater than theirs, because you are Mavlik U'meitav HaSaveiros. You're going to light the Menorah. Why is lighting the Menorah greater than offering up Kavonas on the Mizbeach? The Yaakov gezogt, the Kabbonos on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, in the courtyard of the Mishkan, of the Migdosh, everybody can see, lighting the Menorah is Bifnim, nobody can see. Shalcha G'dayla Shalahem, things that we do when nobody can see us doing them, have much greater reward, much greater power. When a person does something in public, even if his intentions are pure, he gets honor for what he's doing. And it's much harder to have pure intentions. People are watching. And when people are watching, which makes it more difficult to have the most pure intentions, that diminishes the reward in our shpah. We do things in private. No one can see. There's no cover for it. We're not doing it for other people to see. It has much more power. Another interesting story brought down in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. When Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma became ill, Halach Rabbi Chanina ben Tradio in Levakroi. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradio went to visit him to Mevakar Chola. Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma said, Chanina, don't you know that the Romans are in control? I've heard about you. You're learning Torah. You're makil kilos berabim. You're assembling multitudes of people and teaching them Torah in public. And you're walking around with a sefer Torah munach lach bechekecha. You're walking around with a sefer Torah. Says Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma to Chanina. Rabbi Chanina, I'm afraid for your life. I'm afraid you'll get burnt with the sefer Torah that you're holding. They'll catch you and they'll burn you. Rabbi Chanina said to Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma, Rebbe, ma ani lachai olam habo? Will I have olam habo? So Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma said to him, Klum ma'ase bo liyotcha. Have you done anything great in your life? So Chanina ben Tradion answered, I once was walking with Moreshul Purim. I had money which I was going to use for my Purim Suda. And I mixed up that money with Mois of Stocker. I mixed my money with Mois Stocker. So I decided to give the whole lot to Laniyim. V'chilaktim Laniyim. So Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma said to Rabbi Chanina, if so, you mevat on your money. Mechelkecho halava yor chelek. In Olam Habo yi chelki. Halava shabi with the Olam Habo. Umigirocho yi giroli. Halava that your lot in Olam Habo should be my lot. The story continues, not many days passed. When they caught Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, he was sitting and being Oisik in Torah. He was teaching Barabim Torah. And he had a Sefer Torah in his hand. They brought him and they wrapped him in the Sefer Torah. And they covered his heart with sponges soaked in water to prolong his death. And they lit the fire. And they wanted to prolong his agony by putting Svugim Shel Semeh Vashorim B'mayim. He's getting burnt alive in agony. His Talmidim said to him, open your mouth. But to Kolez Boch Eish, let the fire enter your mouth. It will hasten your death. So Rabbi Chanina said, I prefer that my neshama should be taken away by the one who gave it. I shouldn't hasten my death. A Gemara Avodah Zarah, which obviously the question that we have on our minds is, he was Moisa Nefesh Motoira, he was Makil Ke'ilos Barabim. When Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma asked him, when he asked Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma, Mani Lechai Lamabo, he told him this little story about mixing his money with soccer money. And when Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma heard that, he said, Oi, halavai, yoch, I'll have a chelik with you in Olam Haba. Chelkecho yi chelki, gerocho yi geroli. What is pshat? He was makil kilis barabim, he was learned Torah to the masses. Mesiras Nefesh. But yet, Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma was jealous of him from the fact that he gave all the money that got mixed up to Aniyim. So Rav Shach Zichron Livracha gesagt, that things are Barabim, even in Mesiras Nefesh, since they're Barabim, it doesn't have the same power. The covered we get from doing things in public, Megareah, it diminishes the reward. What he did with the moist stocker, nobody knew about. It was Betzina. And things are Betzina have much more effect. What's hidden shines. Rav Shach was Noah Doirish Menoah Mekayim. Rav Shach, in his last years, was over 100. Chananya Jolak was looking after him and he said to him, with what am I going to come to Olam Haba? He said, what do you mean, 80, 90 years? I'll be mechanech and abotz la Torah. Shach said, eh. But you set up thousands of Talmidim. Again, the Shach responded, eh. You've written so many svarim. Your svarim can be found in every Beis Medrash, every yeshiva around the world. Eh. Look at all the yeshivas you helped establish. Eh. He said, why not? Why won't you come to Olam Haba with all these things I just mentioned? So Shach said, Because all these things I received covet. And even big things that we do, we should receive covet for, that diminishes the schar noilim haba. In Shemayim, the machshev, things we do on the quiet. I want to give ourselves a kvaldige chizuk. The last few months, many of us have been davening alone. And a lot of our avodah has been done in the confines of our home. And it's much harder when you haven't got a crowd around you. But every little bit of effort that we did to daven when nobody's watching, to learn, to dial up a chavrusa, these all dvorim shel tzinah. We cannot fathom what tremendous reward we're going to get. It wasn't just a difficult period, it was an opportunity for us to gain tremendous reward. And those of us who are still davening b'yechidus, still learning on our own, we're in isolation, we can look at it as an opportunity. Every little thing we do has tremendous power and receives tremendous reward. Because everything we do, nobody can see. It's Betzina. And what's Betzina has tremendous power and receives tremendous reward. The famous psukim that we all know, Al Tira Kiyashirish. Don't be afraid. When we see someone become very wealthy, Kiyirba Kvoy Besoy, he's getting a lot of covered. Kiloiba Moiso Yikaha Koil. Because when he dies, he won't take everything with him. His cover doesn't follow him to the grave. We look at this pasuk, we have a very big question on the pasuk. Because in death, he doesn't take everything with him, which seems to imply a bit we do take with us. But a little bit we do take with. What is pshat in this pasuk? What does this pasuk mean? Kiloi b'moyis lo yikach ha'koil. It should be kiloi b'moyis lo yikach anything. Kiloi b'moyis lo yikach ha'koil. He doesn't take everything with him when he dies. He takes nothing with. Well, the Yankim Zinski ha'gavaldik of Shat. Al tiro ki asherish. Ashiros is mitzvahs. Masim toivim. Limud ha'toirah. Al tira ki yashirish, ki irba kvoy besoy, ki loiba moysa yikir hakoil. When a person dies, he doesn't take everything with him. Although the Mishnah writes that mitzvahs and masim tovim love a person, but not all of them. Ki loiba moysa yikir hakoil, he doesn't take everything with him. Because layered achrav kvoydoy, the mitzvahs and masim tovim that he got covered for, they don't completely accompany him. La yered achrob kavoidoy, because those maisim for which he got covered, they don't accompany him completely. We don't take everything with us, even in ruchnias. Because the things we got covered for, that diminishes the reward of the mitzvah. I came to Chofetz Chaim and said to Chofetz Chaim, I'm so poor, I'm struggling financially, please, can Hakadosh Baruch Hu not give me the reward of one hanochas tefillin? Chofetz Chaim said, can you imagine going into a shop with a £10,000 check to buy a pack of Winkies for 5 pence? A little corner shop. I thought, I'm sorry, I can't tell you, I haven't got change. You can't come into a shop and buy a sweet with a £10,000 check. So to Chofetz Chaim, it's not possible for a person to have his reward paid in this world of a mitzvah. It's a different currency. Yofa sha'achas mo'olam haba, shel keres ruach, olam haba mikol cha'olam hazeh. One whiff in the next world is more pleasurable than all the anos in this world. That's why schar mitzvah b'hayal meleka. But it said the Chofetz Chaim that covered is oinig ruchni. That is a spiritual satisfaction. And that can take away our schar. Of course, with Poshers, we need a little bit of cover. If not, things won't get done. With the Doris of Ikvot and Mashiach, the weak Doris, and every little thing we do has tremendous Cheshivas and Shemayim. And of course, we do need the cover to get us going. We've got to cherish the parts that we don't get covered for, try and do things as well that we don't get covered for. Or our she'ifa should be that we should be doing it without any intention of receiving covered. Because we need the shloi lishma of covered. Actually, interestingly, when I was in Gate Yeshiva the last year, the fifth year, I was already an older bacha. It's kshmak to be the oldest bacha, one of the older bacha in Yeshiva, bacha come and ask you questions. I remember asking him after the show, maybe I should go to Mir already now. There, I'll be learning to Torah lishma. Nobody will know who I am, sitting amongst 1,000 people. Then it was 1,000 people. It'll be much more of a Torah lishma. He told me that if Yisrael Salanta's Talmidim once decided to learn some Torah lishma, a few of them decided to learn Torah lishma. So they locked themselves in the attic. And for 2 months they learned Torah lishma. When Yisrael came after 2 months to test them and to have them, he told them, you might have the lishma, but you don't have Torah anymore. Because you learned Torah lishma, you've got the lishma, you haven't got Torah. And my soul telling me, it's good to have a bit of a covered, because that way we learn much more stark. I should stay engaged another 6 months, he said. And rather, we need often the recognition that's an incentive that keeps us going. But at the same time, we have to know to try and do things that nobody knows about, because those little things can be so powerful, and even more, earning more reward than what we're doing for Fahesia. And at least the Shiva should be, we want to do things without any comment, without any recognition. And that's why I'm saying these Tkufot, when we're in isolation to a degree, those have been, well, now emerging somewhat. We're going to cherish the opportunities we had, and realize the chashivas and the reward we're getting for what we did but sinner with nobody seeing us, those are still continuing. And so that every little thing we do in but sinner without people seeing us has so much more power, so much more reward. I want to tell you a tremendous story connected to what we're speaking about. I heard the story myself from a recording of a Yid in the Chevra Kadisha in Yerushalayim. He said that the story with tremendous detail, names, times, places, the story anyone can check up. It took him 18 minutes to say the story. I'm going to try and do it in 7 minutes. We hear such stories 200 years ago, 300 years ago, 1,000 years ago. But to hear such a story only a few weeks ago made a big impression on me. In Chov Vov Nisan, in the height of the pandemic crisis, in Eretz Yisrael, the Chevra Kedisha decided, although normally 10 members of the Chevra Kedisha went to every Levaya, they decided not to allow more than 5. In case one of the Chevra Kedisha gets COVID-19, they shouldn't infect all 10 of them, and therefore curtail activities of the Chevra Kedisha. They made a responsible decision that only 5 members of Chevra Kedisha go to each Levaya. They're very makbid, like in most places in the world, to have a minyan at the Kvura. But they relied upon the close family members to make up the minyan. Although during the pandemic, there were no outsiders at the Levaya, but they expected by regular via to have at least 5 family members to go to the Kvura and be present together with the Chevra Kedisha to finish the minyan. On Chov Vov Nisan, only a few weeks ago, It was a Rabbi of a Yid, 1 o'clock at night in Shamgar. His name was Reb Avrom Moshe ben Reb Chaim Keller. His surname is spelled Kuflam Adresh. Chevra Kedisha do a little bit of homework before they take charge of the Nifta to know exactly which Chelka to bury him and how to raise him. And they heard that he was an Erlich Yid, very medactic with mitzvahs, a quiet man. He had lived almost all his life in Argentina and spent the last 3 years living in Yerushalayim. He was 87 years old. The Chevra Kedisha came to the Rabbi. At the Rabbi was a son, two sons-in-laws, sons-in-law, and four Eniklach married into the family. Tukukumun Eniklach. I mean, Edomus of his children and his Edomus. So there was a son, two son-in-laws, and four Eniklach. It was only a small gathering because he had lived all his life in Argentina and he had no other family in Eretz Yisrael. When it came to the end of the Levaya, there were a few short words by the son-in-laws. The Chevra Kedisha realized they haven't got a minyan. In Shalim, the minyan is the son doesn't go to the Kavura. The two son-in-laws were Kohanim. They left us five members of the Chevra Kedisha and four Eniklach. It's already 1 o'clock at night. Who should they call? What should they do? Suddenly an elderly person walks into Shamgar and obviously he realized there were only nine people that saw. He realized there was a dilemma about a minyan and he said he wants to go to the Kavura. They felt he's an elderly person, until they come back it'll be 2:30. I'm sure they can find a young person. They tried to dissuade him. He said no, he wants to come, he's mishpocha. The family was surprised, they didn't know about any mishpocha living in Eretz Yisrael. And he was adamant, he's coming with, ich bin mishpocha. They didn't argue with him further, and they got into one van, well, actually two vans, he got into one of the vans, and off they went to Har HaZeisim. During the Kavura, one of the Eniklach went up to him and asked him what his name is. He said, Gunsfried. He said one word, Gunsfried. He asked him, where is he from? He was evasive. He saw he didn't want to reveal where he's from, so he didn't push the matter further. They finished the Kavura, it was only after 2 o'clock in the morning. This elder Yid, for some reason, wanted to go in the other van back. They drove back towards Yerushalayim from Har HaZeisim. And at one point, he needs to get off. This is where he needs to go. And he got off the van and walked off into the night. The next day, the person saying over the story said he phoned Reb Eliyahu, the son, and told him about this. Asked if he knows who this person is and told him what name he gave when he was asked his name. The son was quiet on the other end of the line and he told him the following story. He was visibly shaken. My father moved to Argentina as a boy of 7. He ran away from Europe just before the Holocaust with his parents. He arrived in Argentina at the age of 7. There was no Yiddishkeit. They lived in a place where there was no Yiddishkeit. One or two refugee families. There was no school, no rov, nothing. Obviously, families found it difficult. Just before my father's bar mitzvah, a rov called Rabbi Greenberg moved to Argentina and tried to be mechazik, the Yidden there, and bring some Yiddishkeit into their lives. When my father became bar mitzvah, he came round to our house. He said, you're becoming bar mitzvah, you're going to chiyuv to do mitzvahs, you're so lucky to be one of the Am Segula, and he pumped him up. I'll just rush the story a bit because we're coming to the end of time. I hope you don't mind if I go a few minutes over. Don't you do this. It's a beautiful story. And he pumped him up and told him, you're so lucky to be part of Klal Yisrael. And he gave him a present, a kiss of Shulchan Aruch. And he said to him, if you listen to what I tell you, you'll live a life what's expected of you. Learn in the Sefer every single day. And my father from the age of Amitzvah learned every day in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. The B'liot said 25 years ago I got married. My father told me what I'm supposed to do at the Chasna. He told me everything from the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. I asked him, Daddy, how many times do you learn Kiddush Shulchan Aruch? It's 30 times the Iyun. His whole life he lived according to his Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. He didn't learn anything else. He knew nothing else, just the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. His wife was mad about him. He never spoke Lashon Hara. As though he stayed in Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. He had minhagim, which are only brought down in Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. On Shabbos by Kiddush, he had two pieces of cake. Connected to Nachum HaShama, even if it wasn't challahs. Everything he did was up here Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. Every day he started his day by learning the first part of Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, Shvi'i Shem Lelegi Samit. And he lived by that. There's no time to continue all the different stories that the son told over to the Chevra Kadisha, how his father adhered to the instructions to the last letter of the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. That's how he lived out his entire life. Till his last day, he learned Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. We don't know for sure, but I'm convinced what happened at his levaya. There was one person missing for a minyan. The Baal Machab of Kiddush Shulchan Aruch is called Rav Shlomo Ganzfried. And to me it seems to be obvious that the greatest tzaddik of Rav Shlomo Ganzfried, the Machab of Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, Nechem Asimla, many, many, many Svarim of Lomdish Svarim, came down from Shemayim to be mashed in the minyan. I want to bring you this story. First, it's an inspiring story. It ties into what we've been saying. This person was a shtila yid, a quiet person. He didn't know lombus or shas. He sat and learned his whole life, every day, Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. He was zeicher to one of the Gedolei Yisrael to come to his levaya, and I'm sure he's sitting with him in Shemayim at the moment. What's hidden shines. A shtila yid, but sneer leches. Think any cover for it. But that is the point we're trying to bring out. The importance of doing things betzinah, quietly, helping others quietly, doing things without any pomp, without any ceremony, without people knowing about it. And we should know that these little acts, like we saw in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, they earn tremendous rewards, they bring down tremendous hashpos. We should help us, we should be zeicher. To do Dvarim Shebetzina, make an impact in Shemayim, bring down our Shpos, Tavos, and receive tremendous rewards from the Dvarim Shebetzina that we do. Our gracious Shkerach, everybody, for listening. I hope you next time I speak, I'll be able to see everybody. Kol Tov, good morning, Chodesh.